great things are happening in his work, and we're excited about hearing from him this morning, and then he will be preaching in the next hour as well, and so we look forward to having him here. Tammy, his wife, sitting over here. He has two children, Nina and Noah. They are in their respective classes this morning as well, so we're glad they're here. Let's bow for a word of prayer, and then let's give Joey our attention as he talks about the most exciting work on this earth, and that's the Lord's work. Let's pray. Our Holy Father, we thank you for the opportunity that you allow us to be together. Father, we thank you for every blessing that we have because we are your children, and the blessing we have to assemble as brothers and sisters in Christ. And Father, we pray your richest blessings upon each of us as we strive to labor for your cause. Father, help us to recognize we're put here on this earth to be workers in your vineyard. Help us to seek every opportunity to do good and to reach out to the lost who are around us. Father, we thank you for Joey and Tammy and their family being here today. We thank you for the good work that they are doing in the Pacific Islands. And Father, we pray your richest blessings upon Joey and everything that he does on each island that he's working with out there, and all of the brethren that he is working with, and all the lost souls that he's seeking to reach. Father, bless his every effort for your cause. Give him many years in your service. Father, give us many years of working together and laboring together in order that souls might be won. Father, bless us and keep us, forgive us of our sins. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
It is certainly good to be with you all this morning. Do I need to hit a button on this, brother? It's just good to go. I'm good to go. All right, brethren. All right. It is so good to be with you all this morning. Like David mentioned, we have an information booth out in the foyer. Be sure to take a look at that, because I won't have time this morning to cover everything with you that I would like to cover. In fact, I'll be doing very good to get through it all, brethren, because there's over 100 pictures that I want to share with you. There's so much I want to tell you about that's happened over the last 2 years, and there's just not enough time to do it. So take a look at our booth in the back, and forgive me if I speak quickly this morning. We've got tracks back there, and like David said, if you don't receive our monthly newsletter, sign that list and we'll get it in your mailbox at your house. Or if you'd rather receive it through email, then we can do that as well. So someone who may not be familiar with the work will ask, well, where is it located? And it's located between Japan and Hawaii. The family lives in the Northern Mariana Islands. And here's a close-up of the islands. Here. We live here in Saipan, and then 1 week per month I travel alone to Yap, Palau, and Chuuk. And so 1 week or 1 month I'll spend a week in Yap, and then the next month I'll spend a week in Palau, and the next month I'll spend a week in Chuuk. And that kind of traveling, that kind of rotation, helps to make the most of the family that's working in the Pacific and helps us to be able to affect more areas. Here is a close-up of Saipan. It's 4 miles by 10 miles, population of 70,000. Our house is located right there in Chalankidza. If you're in the area, come and look us up. We'd love to have you. All right. My wife, Tammy, 2-year-old son, Noah, 4-year-old daughter, Nina. And brethren, I couldn't do the work without them. Tammy is very involved with the work. She leads studies with ladies and teaches ladies classes. And also, she does a lot of driving the brethren around. Most of the brethren don't have vehicles, and so if they need to go to a doctor's appointment or to the hospital, then they might call her. And we've asked them to let us know when possible, a day in advance, and they try to do that. But usually every day she's driving someone somewhere. Someone will ask, well, how many baptisms have there been over the last 2 years? We're happy to report there have been 31. And brethren, we want you to know that a lot of time is spent with each and every one who is baptized. We'll have maybe 8 to 10 hours or more sometimes in Bible study before the baptism, and then another 8 to 10 hours in Bible study after the baptism. And the reason for that is we want to strengthen and establish those new Christians in the church. Baptizing is a part of the work that we do, absolutely, absolutely. But brethren, it's not the end result, is it? The end result is making disciples. We want to strengthen those new Christians so they don't slip and fall right back into the world and be in worse condition than they were before. And so a lot of time is spent with them to help strengthen and teach and establish them in the church. All right. Now, let me take you to Palau. We'll go to each of the four islands, all right, starting with Palau. And Palau is, the city is Koror, and there are four islands that are inhabited there, though as you can see, there are more islands along the country of Palau, the Republic of Palau. Most of the people live here on Koror Island, and a few are branching off into Babeldaob. The Palau Islands are beautiful. There are hundreds of them. And brethren, what you'll have is maybe a 10-foot by 10-foot rock formation coming up out of the ocean, and soil will establish itself there, and then plants and trees will grow off of it, so that you get a little green mushroom out in the middle of the Pacific. And there'll be hundreds of these together, and it's just beautiful, brethren. But the most beautiful thing in Palau is the church there. We have 20 members of the church there in Palau, and all but two of them are Filipino. The way it works is the Filipinos can make 50 cents an hour in the Philippines, which is about $80 a month. Or they can sign a 2-year contract and move to Palau and work there and make $250 to $300 a month. And it varies, brethren. One man who's doing some preaching in the church let me know recently he makes $123 a month. So it varies from person to person. But they are a very poor people. But brethren, let me tell you something. They are the best people. The Filipinos are the best people I have ever met. As a nationality, as a whole, they are, every one of them, warm, caring, kind, gentle people. If I had to spend the rest of my life with only one nationality, the Filipinos would be it, because they're so good-hearted. And so they're wonderful-hearted people, but a very poor people. And I'll talk more about how that affects the church in just a few minutes. Here we have a Sunday night class. Brethren, what we do is go in there and have the Sunday morning worship service, and then every night for the next week we'll have Bible classes. And the Filipinos are excellent to invite their friends and their family members who happen to be in Palau, mostly their friends and co-workers, to come to those Bible classes. Here we have two who were baptized, and both of them were invited to come. Here Merrill is a visitor. Here we have the Bible study in the hotel room where I stay, and this lady here is a visitor. And then here in this picture, after a Sunday morning service, we had four visitors present. And so you see, they're always inviting, always talking, and just like they should do. 1 Thessalonians 1:8 is what it reminds us of. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out, so that we do not need to say anything. Brethren, it's not that we don't need to say anything, but we are able to take great comfort in knowing that our brethren in Palau are sowing the seed, they are working, and they are working for the Lord in the church. Let me talk with you just for a few minutes about their money situation, because it directly affects the work and the progress of the church in Palau. Their contribution will be maybe $10, brethren, on a Sunday. Between the 20 of them, you say, well, that's really nothing. Well, that's right. That's right, brethren. Someone will say, well, why don't they just move to a place where they can make more money? Well, brethren, they can't really. If they live in the Philippines and make $80 a month, think about trying to save up for any kind of airfare on $80 a month. $80 a month, almost all of it will go for food. $250 a month that they might make in Palau, well, they'll send a lot of that back to the Philippines to support the family and then live on the rest there in Palau. And then there are immigration issues. Look at our borders. It's very hard for them to even think about moving to a place where they might try to earn a better wage. Someone else will say, well, it's okay because they're used to it. They've grown up that way and they're used to it. Well, brethren, they are used to it, but that is a very little comfort to them having difficulty financially. They will have maybe a DVD player, maybe one in the family or a friend will have a DVD player. You can get those very inexpensively now, and they may get a used one. And then they'll get pirated DVDs. You're watching the movie and someone stands up in the middle and walks out, so it's obvious that they were recording in the theater, So they'll get pirated DVDs. They see the same movies you and I do, and they know what you and I have and what they don't have. So, brethren, it's hard. It's hard for them. But these Filipinos in Palau, they never ask me for money for food. Now, some of the islands will, but these Filipinos, they never do. This one brother that I told you makes 123, he recently did ask for some help for some food, and we helped him a little bit, but not very much. Brethren, so they're used to it, yes, but still it's very difficult for them. Brethren, we are rich. Did you know that? Now, we've been there 2 years. Before I had moved over, if someone had told me that I was rich, I would have said, oh yeah, look at my bank account and tell me I'm rich. I'm not rich, right? But now I understand we are rich, brethren, very, very wealthy. You give me somebody working for minimum wage at McDonald's, the late shift, all right? And brethren, they are wealthy compared to many of the people in the islands. We are wealthy just because of our earning power. We are wealthy just because of the opportunity that we have to look for a better job. There are jobs out there for us if we want to go find them. For many of these people, there's no job available, brethren. We have earning power. We have opportunity. We can go to school and increase our earning power. Brethren, we're wealthy. We're wealthy. Someone will say, well, things just cost less over there, so it's okay. Well, the things that they buy do cost less. When it comes to food, a lot of what they spend their money on is rice. Rice. They'll go through a 50-pound bag of rice, brethren, in a week and a half. They eat a lot of rice, a lot of rice. And otherwise, they may eat what they catch, what grows on the trees, or what they grow out of the ground themselves. So they don't spend a lot of money on food. They just eat what they can get for free. But peanut butter, for example, peanut butter costs more there than it does here because it has to be shipped in. Frosted Flakes, we pay one-third to a half more for those kinds of things in Saipan and the other islands than you do here. Isn't that something? Fresh milk, $8 to $10 a gallon. $8 to $10. So we don't drink fresh milk, brother. We have a little boxed milk that we drink. But you see, here's how it affects the work in the island. Their inability to work with the finances that they have. There's no church building in Palau, and so they meet in a brother's home. And brethren, that's great. It's good for him to use his home in that way, to volunteer it in that way. But this is it. It's a workers' barracks. Okay, the Palauan who has hired the Filipinos, he will provide some kind of a barracks for them to live in, and this is it. It's got 3 rooms, one's a kitchen, 2 bedrooms, and there may be 5 or 6 Filipinos that live there, all right? And it's a little tin roof, plywood-walled shack, really is what it is, brethren. It's a shack. And the church meets and worships on the porch of this shack. Well, for the Filipinos, it's okay. All right, here's the inside. Imagine 20 people packed in there for worship, all right? For the Filipinos, it's okay, all right? And it's similar to what they're used to, what many of them are used to in the Philippines. And so the problem is inviting the Palauans to come and worship at such a humble location. Palauans are not a wealthy people, but they are wealthier than the Filipinos for sure, all right? They're much better off than they are. And so the Palauans are also, brethren, how do I say it? They're kindly high-minded. Not high-minded, brethren, but they... Are we on the air, brother? I'm sorry, are we on the air, brother? No, all right. They're high-minded, brethren, is what they are, all right? They're prejudiced against the Filipinos. Not all of them. You know, the two who I mentioned who are members of the church are exceptions, but they are... They look down on them, brethren. I don't know how else to tell you. They abuse them, and they're really... The Filipinos go around and call all the Palauans boss and ma'am, and it's just not good. Civil rights workers would have a heyday in Palau, all right? So, but we still got to reach out to these Palauans, all right? Their souls need to be saved as well. And so for the Filipinos to invite the humble Palauans who will come, okay, to a place like this to worship, brethren, is very bad. You know, it greatly restricts the ability of the church to work and grow. Here they are in having the Sunday morning worship service. Here they are again. See the grape juice, all right? Romans 12:16. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. You and I, as co-workers together in the islands, are associated with these very humble people. We're associated, they are humble financially, but brethren, they're humble in heart. And so, brethren, we're associated with the humble. God be thanked we're able to do that. James 2:5. Listen, my beloved brethren, has not God chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which He promised to those who love Him? It's a rhetorical question. The answer is yes. Yes, He has. Those people who are poorer and do not have the material things, brethren, they are more open to the gospel. They're more spiritually minded instead of being material minded. So let us not feel too sorry for them because they're poor. Brethren, their being poor is a blessing for their spiritual lives. Hey, many of them, because they're poor, maybe their souls will be saved, whereas if they were wealthy, they would not be. Brethren, if we had a choice of be poor in this world or rich in this world, and saved eternally or not saved, brethren, we'd choose to be poor, amen? Amen. We'd choose to be poor. So God be thanked that we are able to be associated with them and for their good hearts. Now, here's the solution to that problem. Don't you love it when the solution and the problem are presented in the same hour? Well, this is it. When we lease a piece of land like this one and lay a foundation, there's a brother who will completely pay for and ship a metal prefabricated building. It'll be a polygon shaped like this. It'll have 12 sides instead of 8 like this, and we'll be able to seat 100 people in it. But brethren, when we lease the land and lay the foundation, he'll ship that for us, and this will be the church building in Palau. And it will be something that will be suitable to inviting the Palauans to without them turning their noses up. And we are terribly, terribly excited about what this will mean for the progress of the church in Palau. This should happen within the next 6 months, brethren, within the next 6 months. So we're very, very excited. Now let me take you from Palau and over to Yap. Yap is different from the other islands in almost every way. It is a very traditional culture. They hold on to their ancient ways very tightly. 2 years ago, a typhoon came through and destroyed all of these meeting houses. It's a falau, and in the ancient days, the chief and the leading men of the village would get together there and decide which villages they were going to go to war with, which villages they were going to raid. But now it's just a men's meeting house. But still, the traditional culture is very tight. Women are not allowed. I think it's within 100 feet of this building. And so they're very serious. Brother, laugh. Okay. All right, brother. Yes, they're not allowed within 100 feet. Now, ladies, don't get mad. They've got a women's house too, all right? Okay, there's a little women's area as well. But they're very serious about it, brethren. And they take it very seriously. Their customs they hold on to very tightly. Instead of having a Coke in the afternoon, well, they just lop the top off a coconut, stick a reed down inside, and that's the drink for the workers. Here they were rebuilding those houses that had blown down, those meeting houses. Yes, sir. All right. Stone money, yes, that's right. I could preach a whole nother presentation on the stone money. That piece of money right there, around here to the side are some older pieces, and they're worth more, but it might be worth $3,000. And they carved them out of rock in Palau and transported them by canoe to Yap. Very dangerous. About half the people lost their lives in that dangerous voyage. But if you wanted to buy a boat, a $3,500 boat, you could trade a piece of stone money for the boat. Very interesting. Ask me more about that. Okay. Very interesting part of their culture. But yet again, another example of how they hold on to that culture. Okay. Brethren, about in town, there's one town, and then everyone else is scattered among the villages. Okay. And in town, about 25% of the people will still wear this native clothing, all right? And in the villages, I'm sure that it's much higher. I've only been to the village one time, and you have to get permission to go there from the chief. When you get permission from the chief to go, then you'll go through the jungle down a meticulously clean stone path. Someone's been put in charge of it, and it would be disgraceful for them to let it get dirty. So a meticulously clean stone path, walk down, and when you go to the village, you have to carry a green leaf in your hand, or else they may think that you're coming for some harm. That green leaf is a symbol of peace, says I'm coming in peace without any foul intent. And so they hold on to those customs, brethren, and Americans who come in and break them, well, they may look the other way a time or two, but then it can get dangerous. And so it's not hard to learn what the customs are. It's not hard to learn what to do. You just ask a little bit, and then the thing is, obey them. Obey them, and you'll be respected rather than looked down on. This is a church building. It's not ours. We don't have a church building in Yap. We have 6 members of the church there. But this does give you an idea of how they hold on to that traditionalism. They've painted Jesus in traditional Yapese clothing. To them, this would say Jesus knows the hearts of the Yapese, or Jesus knows the Yapese, Jesus is Yapese in heart, something like that. But you see how tightly they hold that traditionalism. Here's where it affects the church. When we go in to teach, if they think we're teaching something new, oh, they'll push it away. We don't want anything new. So, brethren, what we have to do is work with that traditionalism. They hold on to their pagan religion, ancestral religion, and then Catholicism came in the 1600s and made a lot of converts, brethren. Let me just leave that one there. But made a lot of converts. What we do is open the Bible and show them that the church of the Bible is more traditional than the Catholicism that they're following. The church that Jesus built predates the Catholicism that they're following. So it's more traditional. And brethren, that's the only way to make headway in Palau. You've got to work with it and not against it. All right, now let me take you to Saipan. Let me take you to Saipan. Now Saipan is more modern, which is good. That's where the family stays. There's a better hospital there. There's a McDonald's there, for example. And that's the way you want it. And from that good and more modern, safe location, we're able to branch out to some of the more primitive areas. Okay. So Saipan is a beautiful island. Here we're taken from the top of the dormant volcano, Mount Tapachao. And these girls are demonstrating for you the marmar. It can be worn on the head and also around the neck. Brethren, this is yarn, and the metal holding it together are the tabs off of Coke cans, all right? Tabs off of Coke cans. Don't laugh at my marmar, brethren. This is nice, very nice. They'll give this to someone who's been doing some teaching or something like that. If you were to come over and do some teaching, then you would receive one as well. You say, well, why not a fresh flower lay? This is kind of like a sixth grade art project. Why not a fresh flower lay? A fresh flower lay you could get for $5 in Saipan, no problem. But this one would cost you $20 because it took somebody a long time to make it, you see. And so their mentality about things of that nature are a little different from us. Here, Julie is having a birthday, and so she's being honored with her marmar. You'll recognize Steve Weiss. Steve Weiss is an elder at Forest Park now. Brethren, somehow I ended up under the authority of that turkey. I don't know how that worked out, but it certainly did. No, he is a dear and beloved friend of mine, and he's performing a wedding. It is very common in the islands for people to live together outside of marriage. So, well, why is that? One of the reasons is it's $25 to get the marriage license. In Palau, for the Filipinos, it's $100. Yeah. Okay. So, but normally in Palau and in Saipan, it's $25 for the marriage certificate. So the boyfriend will say to the girlfriend, honey, I love you, you love me, let's just let everybody know that we're married now, and we'll save that $25, we can go buy 100 pounds of rice with that. She says, okay, that's a good idea, let's do that. And so they'll live together. Brethren, they know, now this is a part of their culture, but they know that it's not right. Okay, they know that it's not legal. It's not a legal marriage. Okay, their laws for marriage are very similar to ours. Has to be on file with the clerk of courts. Has to be performed by the mayor or a minister. And they have to fill out the paperwork, make application, all of that. So, they know that it's not right. Hebrews 13:4. Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Sometimes people will come to us and want to be baptized. And they are living together outside of marriage. Okay, well, that's sin, of course. And so, brethren, we cannot baptize them while they're in that state, because what are we saying? That they're repenting all the while they're planning on going back into that same kind of relationship that very night? No, we cannot do that, no. And so we give them two choices, brethren. They can either separate or get married. And having said that, let me now tell you about Coyne and Alex. Coyne had left Alex because he was abusive. He was a drunkard and he was abusive. And she had left him several times before in their life together. They lived together for 14 years before, or outside of marriage, 14 years. And when we met Coyne, she had left him and was living with her sister. She wanted to have the Bible studies with us, so of course we were delighted, went through the study. She wanted to be baptized. God be thanked. Here are some of their children. They had 8 children together. All right. Outside of marriage, 14 years and 8 children together, okay? Coyne was baptized, and God be thanked. She came up out of the water. She's not being flippant here, brethren. She's not being lighthearted. Many of the islanders come up out of the water this way because they understand their new life. They understand what has happened for them, that they were not saved before and that they are saved now. And so they come up out of the water happy, very, very happy, joyous, like the Ethiopian eunuch. Now, Here we have her just a few minutes later on the bank, and she's probably thinking now about all of those sins that have been washed away, all of that guilt that's been washed away, the 14 years living together that's been washed away, all of that coming off of her shoulders. And so Coin was wonderful. After Coin was baptized, then Alex wanted to study with us. And brethren, he was dirty, drunkard, abusive, just the opposite of what you would think of when it comes to a Christian. And so, of course, we were delighted to study with him, but skeptical about it, about what, you know, maybe the real reason he was doing it, maybe to win Coin back or something like that. But quickly we saw that Alex was a very intelligent man. He could read. Many of the islanders have trouble reading well. He could read very well. He understood all of the concepts that we were teaching very quickly. The difference between the Old and New Testament, the fact that infants don't have to be baptized. He understood it very quickly. So we knew he was an intelligent man. And brethren, we went through those studies, and Alex wanted to be baptized. And we could see that he is changing, that he is trying to change his life. And he wanted to be baptized. But there's a problem. Coin had moved back home in the meantime. Brethren, we talked with her, you know, about how she could not be saved, living in that kind of a situation. And brethren, they put us to shame at sticking to their vows, or not vows in this case, but just their commitment. They really stick together. They stick when they shouldn't stick, brethren. But she had moved back home, and we talked with her about it, of course. And so we told Alex, said, Alex, we would love to have the baptism with you, but you and Corn are living together in sin. One of you will have to move out, or y'all have to get married. So he sat on it for a few weeks and then came to me and said that he was ready to ready to be married and then to be baptized. So we were delighted. We were delighted. We had the wedding ceremony. And you know, the Bible says that same hour. Well, in this case, it was that same 5 minutes. We went into the water and Alex was baptized, had his sins washed away. Since that time, he has been leading public prayer. He's been driving the church van to pick people up. He has been serving on the Lord's table, and two times he has extended the Wednesday night devotional invitation for the congregation. So, brethren, he's come a long way. He's still a young Christian. Every once in a while he'll slip and fall and do some drinking, something like that. So pray for him, brethren. But what a turnaround, you see. What a change in his life, amen? That's why you and I are co-workers together in the islands for families like this. Coin would come to us and be crying after Alex was baptized. She could not believe the change in her life, you know, since she came to what she said is this church, talking about the Saipan Church of Christ. And so, brethren, what a change. What a change in their life. God be thanked. Let me quickly take you through the building in Saipan. You may remember that it was blown down. The old one was blown down by Super Typhoon Chava. The brethren erected a temporary tent, 2x4s and tarps, and it doesn't get cold, brethren, so just that and fans, that's all they needed, all right? While the new building was being built, I want to tell you where the money came from for this new building, because it's a nice building. That's our van sitting there, if you should wonder. But, brethren, it's a nice building. It'll seat 200 people. There are three classrooms. It's moderate by Saipan standards. It's not high-end by any means, nor is it low-end. But brethren, three classrooms. We have a nursery here. All right, so our little whale table for the nursery. Okay, and then we can seat 200 people there when we have enough pews built. Right now we can seat about 150. But the funding for this building, 3/4 of it came from the United States, and 1/4 of it the local brethren there have financed. $37,500 they have financed. Brethren, we have to be very, very careful with American funds in Saipan. And I'll say in all mission works, all right, in the islands and everywhere. Because if we just go in there and start throwing down money, you know what will happen? Soon as the plumbing breaks, oh, where are the Americans to fix this plumbing? Or as soon as it needs to be repainted, oh, where are the Americans to get the money to buy this paint? Brethren, God wants us to make self-supporting, self-governing, self-propagating churches. Well, these local brethren, they need to know that they've got to stand on their own 2 feet, if you'll let me say it that way, on their own 2 feet financially. And so 3/4 of the cost was paid. They have financed 1/4 of the cost. And of course, it's on them to maintain the building and to keep it looking nice. They struggle greatly to make that, it's $500 a month mortgage payment that they have. They struggle greatly to make it, brethren. They can hardly buy gas for the vans. But brethren, that's okay, isn't it? United States, we have sacrificed to get them so far. Now it's okay for them to sacrifice to go the rest of the way. Let me tell you something. They take care of that building. They know that it's on them to take care of it. It is clean all the time. It is kept in good shape all the time. They're doing right by it, brethren. They're doing right. And so we must be careful with American dollars in Saipan. So you have a new building that'll seat 200 people. What do? We had a Friends Day and had 154 in attendance. Our usual attendance is 70 to 80. And here, brethren, we doubled our attendance on that day. There were so many people that we ran out of pews, even though we had built new pews for that day, and standing room only in the back. And so it was a wonderful, wonderful day. We had many contacts for Bible studies. One Bible study set up on that day. The brethren put on a feast for those visitors. It is shameful in the islands to run out of food. If they have a funeral, they're going to have several days of food for the visitors. If they have a wedding, they're going to have a lot of food for the visitors. And shameful to run out. So here, the brethren did not run out. Here we have octopus casserole. All right. If you'd like the recipe, just let me know. I'll get it for you. All right. Two sisters woke up at 3:30 in the morning and fried 200 pieces of chicken. Coyne got up at 4:30 in the morning and made her mashed bananas dish. Boyette, who preaches on Sunday night, I do Sunday morning, he does Sunday night. Boyette stayed up all night cooking. He used to be a chef by trade, and he stayed up all night cooking, brethren. You see, they put the foods in storage containers because there's so much. They're having to provide so much of it, so that's very common. Afterwards, we had good fellowship with all of those visitors, and we're able to look further into setting up Bible studies with them. A new project that we have that we are so very excited about is doing a live call-in television show there in Saipan. The people will have a TV, or maybe they will have cable, or their employers will provide it for them, you see. And so there are so many in Saipan who are looking for the truth. They are dissatisfied with the religion that they have been practicing, and they are looking for the truth, brethren. And we just refer to them as the truth seekers, all right? They're there, and if we do this live call-in television show, which would cost us but a fraction of what it would cost here. There's no prime time there. It's all just normal hours. If we did 6 o'clock in the morning or 7 p.m. at night, it'd be the same price because there's no demand for programming. So we get a very good price for it. Brethren, we are so excited. We could reach all of those truth seekers at one time and set up Bible studies left and right, we believe. So pray for that for us, and feel free to ask me more about that later. Let me now take you to Chuuk in the time that we have left. Chuuk is surrounded by a large lagoon. There's a lot of diving in Chuuk, a lot of World War II wrecks there, and the people there are poorer than the Filipinos I described to you earlier, simply because they don't have the jobs available. They don't have them available. And if one member of the family has a job, then it will be his or her responsibility to buy the rice for the entire family. And you're talking about 10 to 12 people, brethren. And so a lot of them don't want to go get a job because why? They're just going to spend the money on rice, you know, just stay home. So medical care there is very poor. This young man, it may be leprosy on him. And if the family doesn't have the money, then he's just not going to get treated, brethren. That's just it, unless there happens to be a goodwill group on the island at the time or other special circumstances. Many of them are diabetic. You know, rice breaks down. It's just sugar. And so many of the islanders are diabetic, and they just suffer with it. We took some McDonald's toys, Happy Meal toys. Thank you. Happy Meal toys in there. They just loved them. Here's a typical house. Again, tin roof and plywood walled. This vehicle that they have here is not typical. Most of the families don't have one, but they do, and it's older and it's falling apart. They keep it together with baling wire and bubble gum. We have two church buildings in Chuuk, 3 congregations and 2 church buildings. Here's a close-up of it. It's just like a picnic pavilion here. And they will sit on that concrete Indian style for 2 to 3 hours or longer when we're having the Bible studies. Here's some of the members of the church in Sabo Village. Here's Epinoop Village church building, another view of it. This is our chief translator here, Hermas. He is a great, great servant of the Lord, hard worker for the Lord. Here are some of the members there in Epinoop. Weechip Village is another one, and Idiosi Timothy has been struggling in the faith, but he is doing very well now and leading the services and having maybe 50 people in attendance for those worship services. So he's having a great effect on a lot of people. The thing in Chuuk, brethren, is that when you have a good name, and the church does, when we have a good name and you have somebody in the village who can go around to his neighbors and say, come hear these people, they're worth hearing, we will have studies at night in Chuuk, not with 2 or 3 people, but brethren, 20 and 30 people at a time. Our opportunities far outweigh our ability here in Chuuk. We have that on Udon Island. We have it in Sapok Village. We have it in Pinia Village. We have it in Nukanot Village. Here you see the 3 congregations in Chuuk. Over on this side of the island are where we're having group Bible studies when we go there. So it's wonderful, brethren, wonderful. More than we can do. It's a 45-minute drive from here around to the other side of the island in a 4x4. Now, some of the brethren can make it in a two-wheel drive vehicle. Brethren, I'll be honest with you, I couldn't do it. And I consider myself a good driver. I couldn't make it, brethren. They can get around there in a two-wheel drive vehicle, but if it rains, you can forget about getting back. You'll be sleeping in the village that night. And so, brethren, it's a hard road, it's a rough road, but the opportunities there are just abounding for us so much. We don't have time. We can't teach in all those places in a day. It's just not possible. There's not enough hours in the day to get over there, do the teaching, and get back. Here, Kendi is baptized, and he had been baptized for the remission of sins, according to the Mormon faith, you see. And they baptize for the remission of sins, brethren, but they do not believe that Jesus is deity. They don't believe that Jesus is part God. They believe he's an angel. And so they're not really baptizing in Jesus' name, are they? They're not baptizing. They may be baptizing in the name of the Father and the Spirit, but they're not baptizing in the name of the Son because they don't understand who the Son is. So Kendi was baptized and had his sins washed away, became a member of the Lord's body, and we rejoice over that. Marino was baptized, and he is the only member of the church on Udot Island. Brethren, it's hard for him. He put off his baptism much longer than, well, we're not comfortable putting it off any time, but he put it off for several months while we continued teaching his family because he wanted to be baptized with them, but his family never came around. And so on one of our trips there, on the way back, he veered the boat over to the right in the middle of the ocean where there was a rising, a sandbar, and stopped the boat. And I thought, Marino, why are you stopping the boat in the middle of the ocean? We're sitting here in nowhere. And he looked at me and said, today is my day. And I wasn't thinking, brethren. I said, what do you mean today is your day? He said, I want to be baptized. I said, oh, wonderful. So we got out and Marino was baptized. And here we go. Hit me, brother. There we go. Marino's baptized. And brethren, we try to let the local brethren there do that baptizing so that nobody wants to be baptized by the white man. There's not a lot of that, but some. When it comes to the work in the islands, there are opportunities abounding. Opportunities abounding. The question is, are we ready to walk through the doors that the Lord has opened for us? We prayed for open doors, and brethren, he gave them. Now are we ready to walk through them? Those doors abound in the islands. They abound here as well. God be thanked that you and I are able to work in his kingdom, that we are able, counted worthy, to work in his vineyard, brethren. It's an honor. And so that being the case, let us serve. With all of our hearts, let us serve and do the work that he has given to us to do. Thank you for your kind attention this morning. We'll welcome any questions in the foyer.